This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Pick of the Week 625, brought to you by Harry's. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. Go to harrys.com/ifanboy and claim your free trial set now. And iFanboy listeners just like you. Welcome to iFanboy Pick of the Week, episode 625. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and he's back from his walkabout, my co-host Josh Flanagan.
G'day, mate. Sorry.
You came back to us, Josh. We didn't know if you would. We thought you were going to do some sort of Thelma Louise type scenario.
Well, it was a real struggle to get through books this week. I was like, I forgot how to you swipe left. Is that it? What? I got to pick one? Oh.
So we're back. Yay. We are iFanboy. Every week we read a bunch of comics. One of us picks their favorite book, call it the pick of the week. We talk about that book on the show. We talk about other books of the week, the patron pick. And maybe if we have some time, listener mail, it'll be fun. I just realized as I was reading, I didn't prepare patron powers. So that was the hitch in my voice as I panicked for a second. Show's fun. It's a review show. Spoiler warning. Here it is. There'll be spoilers in the show. Exercise some caution. Josh.
All right. The pick of the week is Mr. Miracle number 7. And let me just start with saying to everyone out there, listen, I don't want to be doing this either. I started reading it and I was like, ah, crap. This is totally going to be the pick of the week again, isn't it? And I'm going to have to think of something to say. Everybody else is like, you already picked it. But the way this works is the pick of the week is the pick of the week. And then my challenge is to figure out how to talk about that. But the fact is, if I put any other book I read this week up against Mr. Miracle number 7, they don't have a shot as far as this goes. Now, I'm going to go ahead and admit my slight bias here is that, like, I don't actually know Tom King all that well, but, like, he writes with a style that I very much relate to. And the issues and the things that he thinks about, they feel very close to home for me. So, you know, basically what we have here is a difficult birth by two new gods who are on Earth having a new god baby for the first time in history, I believe. On the other side, you have this being drawn, inked, colored, and all by Mitch Gerrits, who I do know fairly well. Now, I know he's not writing the story, but I know that he also has a recent baby. And there is this line, a recent baby. Sorry. There is this line where knowing something about the people involved gives it context that makes it more valuable. And then there's knowing something about the people involved that makes something less valuable. Now, you could know all of these things based on their social media presence, you know, basically just by what's going on with their lives and sort of the tone of the things that they've worked with. But also, if you think about Mitch, you know, he was known largely for doing, you remember everything he did was military?
Yeah.
Do you remember
yeah.
that? There was it
he
was
did,
all
he did that image book. Yeah,
yep.
that we liked.
They was in, and then the Punisher was pretty special ops, and then Sheriff of Babylon. Those were all like military, and this is 180 from that, really. In terms of
Kirby New Gods is about as
yeah, but,
as you
but,
can get.
But also, it's very personal. It's very small yeah. at the same time. So you have, you know, all of these quiet, we'll say, panels and sequences and things like that. And I find that extremely impressive. And also that it works so well. But at the same time, I know, I think Tom has three kids and you know, Mitch has a new baby. And I've been through this and I've had a lot of challenges with it and everything. And so this is speaking to me in the same way that Dennis Hopeless's Spider-Woman did, you know, a little while ago. And, you know, this is the thing I think about in my life more than anything else, because it's sort of utmost in my mental priority and, you know, time spent on anything. And so to have a story where someone's writing about at least the beginning of it in this with a definite sincerity and a truth and an honesty, you know, but also in the context of this really wacky thing that is, these are new gods and Barda is 7 feet tall. And
there's an absurdist quality to this.
Yes.
This issue, especially as they're, you know,
yes.
the other, the Furies are in the waiting room.
Yeah. And that
has to keep going to update them. And
so that's a really, I mean, the thing is, if this hadn't had that aspect, I don't think it would have been nearly as strong, because otherwise it's just confession or what is it? What is it on reality shows when you go into the room and you confessional, I guess is what they would call it.
Oh, you'd be the expert. You used to
work that. I think like on The Real World, you know, when they'd go in the little room yeah. and they'd tell you, well, you know, so-and-so has really been a jerk. That's, I think that's the confessional. I think that's how, mm-hmm. what they would call it. So too much of that is not good in a comic book context where you're forgetting the fact that you are writing a superhero comic book. But right. the fact that they had just in this, the Furies in the waiting room, and also the tension that's going on there with the, like, she gives him this knife that can only cut new god skin or whatever it is, and she's like, and this will be the knife that I will kill you with, and he's like, yeah, yeah, I understand, and then he gives it back, he goes, I'm still gonna kill you with this knife, and there really is, that's a great joke. it's a wonderful joke, but that's, you know, juxtaposed against you know, what is a really scary and exciting time, and you're supposed to be really excited, but people don't really talk about the scary part of it, and especially if something starts going wrong. And there's these people who are super capable at the things that they're super capable at. They have been through everything, and this is, you know, like, this doesn't feel any less tense than one or two issues ago where Scott Free was about to be executed.
Right.
You know, and the level of significance on both of those events feels roughly similar. And it's just, it was handled really well. And when we talk about, you know, like, people who are listening to the show, like, you guys are talking about every issue of this book. Well, this is significant because this is a really good comic book at a time when there's a bit of a dearth of those, I think.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, from a mainstream standpoint.
This is a head and shoulders book above most other comics. So mm-hmm. there's a reason why we talked about almost every issue of The Vision. We talk about almost every issue of Batman.
Now,
it's because the way he's making comics right now is so different than everybody else, and it's more appealing.
Yeah. You know? No. You don't have kids. You're no longer a bachelor, but it's not a big thing for you. Did this connect with you on any level?
Like, I mean, as a story, it was enjoyable. As sure. I said, I mean, the absurdity of him going back and forth between the room, you know, where Barda is, and then the Furies, and you know, the importance of the fact that it is the first, I guess, the first baby god born on Earth. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I never really thought about that before. And I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is going on here, ultimately.
Because of the glitches?
As the screen glitches out like an old VHS mm-hmm. tape, and as we get those random Dark Side Is panels, like, you know, it's, there's still a larger story here at play that we haven't yep. figured out as we are 7 of, I guess, 12 issues in. So there's a, I mean, and the thing is, I mean, these are great characters, Mr. Miracle and Big Barda. I've loved since the 80s when they were on the Justice League team with Keith Giffen. But his Scott and Barda are just so terrific, and I could just hang out with his Scott all day long. He's like the most, we used to call, like, this was like the George Clooney character, right? He's just sort of haggard and tired and mm-hmm. slumped shouldered. And this is the pre movie star George Clooney character.
Right.
And I just like his Scott, who just doesn't care about any of the new god's political bullshit. You know, he goes out, they all yell at him because they're the Furies, and he's just like, okay,
Yeah.
I'm going back in the room. And it's just, you know, he was rubbing his face and the Mitch Jarrett stuff. I love the little speed lines that he does to show movement. But it's not traditional speed lines, just these little white accent lines.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're from the dip.
I mean, there's a great panel where he's putting his phone in his pocket and there's just a little line to show that's happened. And rubbing his face, there's just a little line by, you know, to show he moved his hand up. It just, yeah. this book is terrific.
There's a couple of sequences in here that I think, there's a bit, when we're talking about the truth thing, there's a bit here where the monitor stops beeping. And they like are like, you know, is the thing on right? And she's like, I don't know. And then she starts to get worried about it. And then, you know, Scott stands up and he's like, should I get somebody? It, like, and they don't know the level of panic they should have.
Right.
Which is a real, and like, well, we're going to trust these doctors. I don't know what else to do. I relate to this shit. I relate to the shit out of this. I mean, it's, right. And it's a really nice, and then it comes back and he's like, I'm sure it's fine. And then they get the doctor, and he doesn't really know what to say, and he doesn't want to be panicky. He's like, the machine thing, it's okay, right? Like, there's a – I know this could be bad, but I'm not going to let that get to me. There's another bit where basically she's like, I'm hungry or I'm thirsty or whatever, and he's like – and she says, I can have crushed ice. And he's like, do you want me to get that? Panel, yes. Panel, okay. Panel, thanks. And it is so deliberate, and it – In a less sophisticated world, you think that's so boring. Why would you do that? But it works so well for me. Like, I'm eating it up with a spoon. It's,
well, it's the rhythm of it.
Yeah, and it just really, really making use of the form to set a tone.
I mean, we wouldn't want every comic to be like this.
No, absolutely.
And the industry wouldn't want that either. It's a very specific story with a very specific set of characters.
Yeah.
And that's why it works so well. If this was every comic, it would be boring.
I know when this was announced, I was just like, I don't know. That's what I thought. Was like, I don't know. But, you know, this has turned out to be such a delight. Like, it's really one of those. I don't get excited when a new issue of a lot of things come out. When I get a new one of these, I was like, oh, sweet. And I can wait on it. You know, like I put it. I'm like, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to make sure I pay attention to that when I read it. And that's sort of rare for me at this point. So.
And trying to name the kid was fun, too. All the really, really aggressive god names that Scott keeps suggesting. Star Razor, Iron Breaker.
I don't think I knew what was going on with that for a while until I did.
I know. I was like, what is he? He's trying to figure out the name of the kid. That's all right. I get it. It was good. Really good. Really, really good. And, you know, it'd be interesting. I want to see if these guys work together again in a third book and what happens then, because the last. You know, the Sheriff of Babylon was terrific. And they weren't together on Vision, but the Vision was terrific. It's like every year we get this one strange Tom King series that's really good.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't want to keep talking about it either, but I would not be doing my job if I didn't.
Yeah, for sure.
There we are.
So Slots wrapped up.
Yeah. Can you explain to me what happened in this comic book? That's why we're talking about this right now. And I put it in a longer section because I wanted to make sure that we had time to figure it out.
Okay. So in the last issue, what's his name? What is his name?
Stanley Dance.
Stanley. He came up with a plan to screw his ex-friend while making a lot of money. Well, first he was going to throw the fight to make his friend a lot of money, his ex-friend a lot of money, because I guess he was, I guess, in a bad situation. And now he's like, screw that. I'm gonna screw this guy. I'm not going to throw the fight. I'm going to win. And so he gets juiced up with some stimulant for the boxing match. And I really love this sequence in which he's like, you know, it's the tide turn moment in the movie where the guy's like, no, I'm going to fight. I'm going to win this fight. And he even gets some illegal narcotics to help him because he's old. And he gets in the ring with the guy who's a chump, he's got way more losses than wins, and he's over the hill too. And we cut to the start of the fight, which we see solely through the faces of his friends. He just get clocked in one punch, and he's out, and he loses.
What?
I thought that was hilarious. I laughed so hard.
What is the – I like that too. What is the drug? There was a vaguely like –
He's getting shot in the ass with the.
I know, but like, what is? Because for a second, it almost felt like if this was a Marvel or DC comic, it'd be like, oh, that's some mutant growth hormone or something. Like, I was trying to think about what
their stimulant. I would assume.
I was trying to think of what there is that would. But I don't. I'm not.
Well, I mean, they
that.
Shoot horses up with stimulants all the time.
Sure. They shoot horses up with stimulants all the time, don't they?
One of my college roommates was this family had some small horse.
Pusher.
He told me all the time about the horrible stuff that happens in horse racing. But and so then he loses the fight, which means his friend made a ton of money. And then it gets a little complicated. He sets off the fire alarm in the guy's casino, and the whole place gets flooded.
Did you see his shirt?
Yeah, Cook's Plumbing.
Yeah.
Because he broke the safety valves that would keep it from flooding, and the entire water tank floods the entire casino, and
they can't shut it off, and
then he gets shot. It was a little muddled.
It did feel like, oh shit, it's issue six.
Yeah,
we have to do everything right now because the rest of it was very measured and quite calm and uneventful, sort of. And then this was just everything happening at once. So I think there was a pacing issue that happened here.
Yeah, this might have been an 8-issue series. And it's not often that we say this could have used some room to breathe. Usually there's too much pages, not enough story. But here I think we could have gone 8.
Huh. Yeah. Well, or 7.
It does end kind of abruptly, too.
It's like, that's it? Now listen, again, we have a bad history with this. Maybe this isn't the last issue, but it says the end at the end, so I think it is.
I liked it the way it looked, though. I really like Dan Panosian's art a lot.
Yeah, it is perfect for this.
And I think reading it all together, it might make slightly more sense because I was a little bit lost trying to follow the different machinations of the plot. I just really love the boxing sequence in this issue.
Yeah, no, that was
even the double. You got this, kid. I got this, which you know mm-hmm. We've been really against it. And then the next page, crack, wood.
They would say that, though.
Oh, for sure.
That is valid dialogue for these people. So I'm
fine
with
that. I just love
that
he got hit one time.
It's the shortest fight I've ever seen.
Oh, that was terrific. This was a fun series. As much as it was a little bit confusing, it was a really fun series. I liked reading it. I liked that Image put a book out that did nothing to do with aliens.
Yeah, I agree with you very much. So, speaking of Dan Panosian's art working somewhere, let us then go to the surprise that I felt was Flash number 42, story by Joshua Williamson, art by Dan Panosian.
It was funny because I opened it up and I didn't really look at the cover because I don't normally. And then I was scrolling through and I just cut the David Finch variant cover caught my eye. I looked down and I saw Panosian and I scrolled. I was like, wait a second. I scrolled back to the front. Mm-hmm. And I scrolled to the end. Yeah, it was Panosian. It wasn't as tight Panosian as Slots. It was a little sketchier, a little looser.
Well, it's a different team. I was basically like he was coloring himself on the other one. So this one we have Hi-Fi colors, which is a very different approach than what he'd used in Slots. But yeah, there was I don't know, man. I love his artwork, his style, of everything about it, but this was a weird choice.
Weird choice in general or
it was a weird choice in general. It was a weird choice in terms of it was in the middle of a story and it's an artist who's a completely different style than the other artist who was doing the story and also the other artists who have been doing the series.
For sure. I mean that's the big comics problem right now with these goddamn double shipping books is that the art is just all over the place.
Yeah, but it feels like, for the most part, you know, like this book, for example, it's been the two guys or three guys sort of going back and forth, and they were all of a piece. And this felt like a different thing that I don't...
This happened on Green Arrow, where they had a guy like Otto Schmidt, who had a very distinct style, then they would switch to another guy who had a completely different style, issue to issue. And that was really...
And also, I just don't know if he's a good fit for this type of book.
For a Flash or comic?
Yeah,
or
for this specific Flash. So the way that Josh Williamson writes, it's very straightforward comic booky. I don't know. It was strange. Like, I really wanted to be excited about it, but I don't think it worked for me.
There was definitely some panels that did not work. I really like the panel with Grodd and the evil Flash girl, mm-hmm. where Grodd is taking up most of the panel. That was it's a good gorilla.
Yeah.
But he
looked very different than he did in the last issue. Grodd, like, it just is.
Yeah.
It's just different.
You just wish that they would all go back to monthly and they would just let these guys do by arcs because it really does throw the flow off. It throws the whole flow of the series off when you just go from art style to art style.
It also just, it feels like did they need Pnosian to do a fill-in issue and that was the guy they could get?
I kind of feel like maybe only because if you look at this book next to Slots, it's a much looser art style. And almost, I always hate when people like us will say, oh, this looks rushed, because I don't have any idea how long it took. But it's undeniable that the style is looser. And so it just makes you wonder if he goes like, oh, shit.
Yeah, but at the same time, like it's a weird choice. Like, it's a weird choice, though, for this book. Like,
I don't get speed from his art. I don't get in the same way you get it from Jay Domenico.
Right.
Or the other people who have been drawing the book. He's like a guy you want drawing Batman or Green Arrow or something like that. Mm-hmm. Not guys who move around and crackle with lightning.
Yeah, there's a lot of standing. It reminds me like when
Romita.
Yeah, absolutely reminds me of Romita. In fact, this looks more like Romita than it sort of does Pnosian, which is weird. But it reminds me of like when Romita first did, I think it was Avengers. And there was just like a bunch of dudes standing around talking. And I was like, this is not what Romita's for.
That's the best use of Romita.
Yeah. I don't know. I really wanted to like it, and I was really kind of happy to see that name on there, and it just didn't click. Story was fine. It was good. I
think he would be great as a regular artist in a different book. At DC.
Yeah.
It would be good to get a guy like Pnosian at DC is what I'm saying. Because
absolutely.
Much of their art style is this really similar house style, which is really kind of boring. At least his work isn't boring.
I mean, I absolutely applaud them putting him on the book. Like, it's not a complaint in that. I just tonally it was off, I thought.
What was not off was the Wes Craig art in Deadly Class 32.
Oof.
We're back after a little bit of a break, which is always a little bit tough just to remember what's going on. But the thing with Deadly Class is all you have to remember is everyone's just trying to kill each other all the time. So it didn't take me that long to get back up to speed. But man, this was like Wes Craig took every minute of that break and used it on this issue, because there was a lot of crazy pages in here, including the one where they're going down the staircase. It's that full page shot. Full page panel where they're shooting at the Yakuza as they go down the staircase, and that was just a incredible panel. And the double page spread of them jumping down, which is very much like Jeff Darrow or '80s Frank Miller page.
Yeah, and every page that has panels on it is canted slightly or even tilted in perspective.
Yeah,
most and that just really gives it this sense of movement and also just imbalance, not in a bad way. And then the last page is like basically the fight's over, they're calm, and we're back to normal. And so all of a sudden the panels are straightened up again, and we're back to just a straight, perpendicular grid, which I thought was interesting. And there's a bit where it's a two-page spread where they're, I don't remember anyone's, the Vietnamese kid, and I guess, is it Saya? I don't know, she's in the bikini.
Yeah,
and they're pulling like a group of the spiky ninjas across, and she's breaking the panel border into the next panel. It's just really, really beautifully designed.
So, actually, I forgot to mention this. So yeah, so in addition to the art feeling very 80s, these Yakuza who attack them look exactly like the mutants from The Dark Knight Returns.
Yep,
they have those bars across their eyes and spiky teeth.
What did they say? Not Smash and Bash, but I'm trying to remember what their little.
Oh, in the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, their little chant.
They had a bunch of different weird like nonsense phrases they used, but it just felt like this was the book takes place in the 80s, so obviously that makes sense. It just felt like very influenced by 80s comics.
You know what? You got to be the strongest influence for Remender. I don't know how old Wes Craig is, but I know that Remender grew up in that. that scene of comics, basically.
It's just interesting when they bust in and they've all got spiked teeth and the red bars across their eyes. I was like, wait, are we in the Dark Knight Returns all of a sudden? But I really like this issue. And this, you know, there was a point where I was like, am I going to keep reading Deadly Class? But I think
I did that
too. I don't feel that way anymore. At the very least, it looks terrific all the time.
I found a page of Dark Knight Returns slang. It's like a dictionary. Don't shiv. I remember don't that. Shiv. I'm not just reading them. Slice and dice, slicer dicer. That's what I was thinking of.
Slice and dice.
They would say slicer dicers. We slicer dicers. We don't shiv. That's basically what I was thinking of.
I don't shiv either, to be honest with you.
No, ain't nobody. No.
So, Mage the Hero Defined, number 7. I'm still reading this book. I'm not entirely sure why.
Really?
But I like it.
Okay, because basically my note about this is that this is actually another one that I really look forward to. And yes, I realize it's also another family book with a slightly older family and a dad who is really, really talented, but just starting to lose his wind a little bit. No, it's not it.
What you're saying is the current trend in comics, which is problematic for the audience to write autobiographical middle-aged man stories, is good for you.
It works for me right now, but you also, you have to have the skills to back that up and to sell it. But I do, I was not a Mage fan. I actually tried to get into it a few times when I was younger. But I've really been enjoying every issue of this. I feel like he's got a unique world, which of course he does. And I feel like there's a voice here that just feels unique.
I've always been a Matt Wagner fan.
I've known about him forever and I understand that, but there hasn't been a thing that I've gotten into, but like, this is just, it's just good and it's good in its own way. And I love that. Like, those are the things that I want. I want it to be original and I want it to be quality. And I look forward to these issues. And really, like, if I'm looking at it on the surface, I couldn't tell you what that is. It's pretty basic. But
well, he's a cartoonist.
Yeah.
You know, not in the way that, you know, Alex Robinson or Darwin Cook is, but he has his style is way more cartoony than it is comic booky. I do like that his style is just going to live in this particular era, and he's not going to make any concessions to comics. So, like, you know, the whole opening sequence in which Mage is running around chasing the magical trail that he's seen, he's just straight up talking to himself the whole time. You know, that's something that comics did 20, 30, 40 years ago, and it changed to the caption. It would have been maybe thought balloons, but now it's caption boxes. But it's just straight up dialogue balloons as he talks to himself the entire time. And I thought, wow, how delightfully old fashioned this.
Well, you know what? I hadn't noticed that directly, but I did notice that, like, it's a simpler presentation of a comic book than we get now. It's almost quaint.
I
think that's what you're saying. And again, done well, I find that very attractive. I think that works really, really well for me right now. But it has to be done well. And I like that it does hearken to an earlier time. And, you know, this is actually, I would go so far as to say I was probably too young to get this when it was happening. Or at least I wasn't reading comics at that time. And so it's kind of, I always think it's really cool when you find something that's been lauded in an earlier era that you're not necessarily very familiar with, but then when it clicks with you, you go, "Oh, I totally get it." You know, like if take Pet Sounds, for example, like you take an album like that and you're like, "Everybody's been talking about it. I don't get it." And then you do get it. You're like, "Oh, I see." And there's a timeless thing that happens that really makes something special. And I enjoy the heck out of this. I'm not lost. I know what's going on. I get it.
No, I'm not lost at all. The only problem I have with it is I get a little eyes glazy when we spend a lot of time with his nemesis. And
girls?
The woman with her face covered with the hair and her minions, and they start talking about a lot of demons by name. Uh-huh. And it's just like, I don't,
I get that. I think the art suffers the most with them.
But overall, I do enjoy this. So I guess we're about halfway through. I think it's 15 issues this is running.
Oh, that's great.
This is issue 7. I have the first two trades. I have the trades for the first miniseries, the original one. I don't have the trades for the second miniseries, but I do want to go back and read them.
Me too.
I'm totally enjoying it without having any back.
Yeah, and that's key.
But I think it'll be interesting to go back and read those original ones, too.
That next cover is great.
It is a great cover.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really fun. I'm very glad that this happened, and they're just coming out like clockwork. It's awesome.
He's a pro.
This show is sponsored by Harry's, and you're a customer. I'm a customer.
Yeah.
Here's what I was thinking about, because we want to think about what it is we like about Harry's, and here's what I realized. I am not suffering any, I think, shave bumps or ingrown hairs.
Ooh.
Lately, and I've been
razor burn.
Yeah, I've it's been cut down drastically. I think that's for two reasons. One, it's a good set of blades. That's the thing you want that to be. Two, I think in the past, a younger me, a me who was paying, let's say, twice as much for razors from other brands, was maybe trying to get more life out of them.
For sure.
Than I should have. And the way that Harry's works is I'm buying a bunch of them for what is, to me, a much more attractive price. And I will trade them out a little sooner than before when my flinty New England nature would have said, no, let's go for another round. And honestly, I can't remember the last time that I had my neck would get those really painful, awful razor bumps.
Now, well, you're talking about an era in which you would just sort of scrape the rusty blade across your face one more time, hoping it would get one more shave out of it.
Yep.
And it's like trying to shave with a spoon as opposed to now. I have a very lovely Saturday ritual in which I put a new blade on, and so it's always
a weekly. Look at you.
Yeah, weekly because I shave a lot, so every Saturday I change my blades, and it's nice.
That's nice.
And then you're right; you don't have that problem because the blade's always fresh.
Yeah, and that's really good. And I want to give them a shout out. Switching to the soft touch plastic handle as opposed to the smooth one, night and day. Night and day. It doesn't slip. You don't want it. So Harry's, you should check that out. Harry stands behind the quality of their blades, and they know that switching razors is not an easy decision, so they created a free trial offer. You claim yours right now by going to harrys.com/ifanboy. The way that this works is they want to deliver you a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. Harry's founders, just some regular dudes, they were fed up. They didn't want to overpay for expensive razors. We were just talking about that with unnecessary features. Let's not forget the vibrating one. And they knew that really what the important thing is, a great blade, maybe sharp, durable steel that lasts. So that's why they bought the factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. The company has. They bought it. Now they are making those blades. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 a blade as compared to $4 or more, depending on what urban area you reside around. And if you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days, and they're going to give you a full refund. So you can get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. You got a weighted ergonomic handle. You have a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and of course the coveted travel blade cover. Go there now, all the listeners of the show, to harrys.com/ifanboy and redeem your offer. And of course, let them know that we sent you to help support this show.
Yeah, I mean, come on. At this point, what are you waiting for? You get a free set. It's a no-brainer. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, no one says you got to keep going. But you're going to like it because it's terrific. And I've never met anyone who has tried Harry's and hasn't kept with it. Like, quite seriously. So check it out. harrys.com/ifanboy.
Are you in love with Doctor Strange right now?
Yes, although you've missed the last couple of shows in which I've talked about the frustration I've had with Doctor Strange and the Doctor Strange Damnation miniseries, which are for some bizarre reason taking place concurrently, but yet doesn't feel like they're taking place concurrently, and it's been very confusing. And I just wish that Damnation had been just an arc and they had just done it as one arc in the book.
I agree with you on that, sort of. It seems confusing at first, but I have decided that if I don't worry about it and I just read the two things and they're coming from different angles, I just read them in release order. They've decided to do it for some reason like that. That I thought, well, geez, didn't the last issue spoil this one? But really, right. Damnation did a thing, and then we came back to this issue, which is Doctor Strange number 387, and we're sort of going backwards a little bit to see something from another angle, and it worked for me. Like, we ended up at the same point, and I don't know that – I've decided to not let it bother me because apparently it doesn't bother Marvel.
Gabriel Hernandez-Walta was the artist originally on this run, Donnie Cates, that I love so much. And Paul and I – or Ryan – I think it was Ryan – talked about Nico Henrichon, who is also really terrific. I still miss Walta, but I've now come around on Henrichon doing this arc.
No slouch.
Henrichon is really, 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 really terrific and really talented and really good. It's just that I got so used to the look of the book in a certain way. It changed. However, you know, Henrichon's great. So
this and just also this I'm sure you guys covered this, but this version of Stephen Strange, I think, is really successful following everything that happened.
It's just nice
like
to have
the direction.
Dr. Strange back, you know?
Yeah.
And not be modified in some way and not be holding an axe and not be, you know, without his powers. It's just, it's, I don't know that sometimes comic companies get that we want to read about these characters. And so when they keep taking them away or taking away their powers or doing them in a way that I guess is more interesting to the people making them, but less interesting to the readers, it's just not as much fun.
It's a fine balance, I think. If they, you know, if we only got one thing, I don't know that we'd appreciate the other, or vice versa. But there is definitely something to be said about that with these Marvel characters. Certainly the case with a Captain America or something like this, or in this case, a Stephen Strange.
I like that Loki keeps coming back. God damn it.
But I also like it. Great. It works very well. It's different than Jason Aaron's run, but it does.
Yeah.
Match with it. It dovetails it. It has not dropped what happened at all, but it's also not dragging it around like a ball and chain.
For sure. I mean, the things that happen there are important. They're referenced, you know, the worry that magic goes away, that stuff is still important.
They both got to tell their story.
Yeah, this has been a great series. And this continues to be a great series. Dry County, number one, story and art by Rich Tomasso. He did that book, Spy Seal. Was that a patron pick?
Yes, and I was curious why after that you decided to go in for more. So please continue.
Because we didn't really like Spy Seal. It was another one of those anthropomorphic animal stories that I'm not really super into. But this is just a straight up crime story with people. It's set in Miami in the 80s. And I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but I enjoyed it. We haven't really gotten into the crime part yet, which is the only criticism I have. Is this felt like it felt like the first chapter of a graphic novel that would be fine, but as an issue, you want to kind of get more into the meat of it first, which is an often problem we have with image books. But it's just a down and out cartoonist, newspaper cartoonist in Miami who meets a girl who's got a bad boyfriend, and we'll go from here. But I really liked it. I'm always hungry for these non-genre image books, and this is one of them. It's just a straight up 80s Miami crime story. And Tomasi was in LA Confidential.
Also, he writes and used to edit for DC Comics.
Yeah, Tomasso's art is fun. It's quirky. It feels like an old, you know, comics with an X from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it's this kind of story and a kind of look of a book you don't see that often these days anymore. But I'm looking forward to reading more of it.
All right, I will check that out. I was like, I think you would another thing.
No, I get it. I saw it was, plus it was vying for a patron pick, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll check it out again. And I just didn't. It was good.
But Tomasso's pretty. He does a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he's always got something coming out. Prolific. That's the word I was looking for. You know, we were talking about books that we look forward to.
Yeah.
My face lights up every time there's a new Action Comics, which is every 8 minutes, I'm pretty sure.
It's interesting. That's an interesting development over the course of these 15 years together.
Isn't it? I mean, there's a couple of things. One, I've decided that, I'm really impressed with Dan Jurgens.
Also, it's 18 years, but yes.
Just in general... Like how his name shows sometimes somebody who was, you know, from a couple of generations ago or 20 years ago, that's when their prominence was, will show up in something and but man, I think he's walking a line.
He was the biggest name in comics in the early 90s.
Yeah.
You know, he did all these Superman books, which were really popular. And then he went to Justice League, and he came on, and it was a big deal when he did a book.
But also, he was basically, him and his ilk were supplanted when Grant Morrison did Justice League.
Yes.
I mean, so, they were literally that's enough of your kind, over one side. And then we had the era that we came up in as adults, we'll say. But you know, we've got him coming back, and it's, I don't know, like this is, I just love reading these. They're not like amazing. They're not breaking the mold, but they just do something. And this issue in specific was, it's funny, this cover was a lie. It basically has General Lane, like, you think he's going to fight Superman with tanks and shit like that. But it wasn't. It was a family
dinner. It's a metaphor for his rage, Josh.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, so two things. One, DC just did a big event at Southwest, and they had all the Superman people there. And it was really interesting because there was a photo that went out. It was Frank Miller. He's doing that Black Label book, Superman book. Jim Lee, Brian Michael Bendis, and Dan Jurgens. And it just felt so... You know, a year ago, I would have been like, why the fuck is Dan Jurgens there?
Yeah.
But it totally makes sense.
He looks good.
First of all, he looks terrific.
Yeah.
Second of all, he sort of reasserted himself as the prototypical Superman writer.
Yeah.
Who does it almost better than anybody else.
He really does.
Secondly, the only criticism I have is the opening is when Sam Lane comes to visit Lois and Jonathan, and he hasn't visited them yet, and they have an argument about his view of Superman. I was like, okay, they've had this argument 10 times in this series.
Yeah.
Like I don't need this anymore. But then it turned into a very interesting morality play about the Phantom Zone, in which Superman's like, you know what? Maybe it's cruel to send people to the Phantom Zone. And that was interesting. I really liked that part.
Yeah. And he basically put Hank Henshaw on some sort of hallucinogen to make him happy.
Which one's more immoral? Who can say? But, I really like this book. You're right. I mean, it's really good.
Yeah. It's a superhero comic in the sense that almost nothing else feels like, I guess that it's a good superhero comic, but it's very straightforward and it's bombastic and it's, you know, it's red and blue and it's fun. It's been consistent. So.
Yeah. And I don't know what has changed or if anything did change. Cause I remember when the New 52 launched, the books that Jurgens worked on weren't that good, but who knows?
Well, yeah, all sorts of reasons could be for that. It might have been there was editorial constraints that you were trying to work around, which doesn't help. Might have been, a shift in our attitude, maybe a shift in his, approach, or a combination of all those things.
Right.
I've talked about this, the Wildstorm Michael Cray thing, a bunch of times, and now I'm like a complete convert. Issue number 6 came out this week, and the only thing that basically every week, every issue or two, he takes down some villainous version of a DC superhero. The thing about this one is that they teased that the person for next issue is going to be John Constantine.
Okay.
Who kind of already is a villain, but he's like a psychopathic therapist in this, and he kills his patients, I guess.
So this issue was drawn by Larry Hama?
He did the breakdowns. He did them on the last one too.
All right.
So he does the breakdowns, which I think is interesting. Like again, it's almost like we need somebody to do breakdowns. Will we get Larry Hama? Really? That's like it's like calling in Ridley Scott because you need somebody to do your TV episode. Like, right. Okay, let's bring in Larry Hama.
Need a guy to do some lighting work. What about Ridley Scott?
It's such a weird book, and I like the style of it.
I wanted to mention really briefly a book that I think is not on Josh's radar at all, but will surprise him. Vampironica number 1 from Archie Comics is the latest from their Archie Horror line. All these books are not connected to each other. They're just horror takes on the different characters, and this is a horror take on Veronica. And the reason why I wanted to mention this to you, Josh, is because the book is written by Greg and Meg Smallwood and drawn by Greg Smallwood.
Oh, wow.
And first of all, Greg and Meg, adorable.
Yeah.
Let's just all be real here. But... I mean, Jesus, this book looks fantastic. I mean, I don't know how, because the last time we saw Greg Smallwood, he wasn't doing Moon Knight?
Moon Knight.
I don't know how he ended up doing this, but Jesus. And I don't know how long they're doing it. I assume the carrot was that they get to write it.
Mm-hmm.
But man, first of all, really good story, interesting story. And just Greg Smallwood's really good. I don't think I've seen him before because I didn't read that Moon Knight book.
Oh my God. I mean, I didn't read it. I would just look through it. Like, he was that good. And I don't ever do that.
This is a great story. So it starts off, there's a little pool party happening and Cheryl Blossom's house, and then Veronica shows up. So we flash back to how she's a vampire. She wants to go on a date with Archie. Archie's going on a date with Betty. So she decides she's going to go out with Reggie to make Archie jealous. As she's getting ready, her father's business meeting turns out it was a vampire who killed her parents. The vampire bites her. She runs away after stabbing him, gets in a car wreck, drives right into Reggie as he's showing up to go to the date. She flies through the windshield, wakes up, and she's fine because she's a vampire. And it was a really good-looking book. And I'm going to keep reading this because I haven't been reading any other Archie books other than I guess technically I'm reading Afterlife with Archie, although that came out last in 2016, I think. But this is a really good book, and I'm going to keep reading it.
Somebody over at Archie knows talent. That's all I know.
Yeah, for sure.
He could be the smart guy who's running it, who also does know talent, but I'm guessing there are other people there. So that's pretty great.
Yeah.
Star Wars Corner Time.
Great. Great.
I know you're excited, but these are things that have to happen. Uh-huh. They have to be done, and there we are. We're talking about it. This is Charles Soule and Giuseppe Camuncoli, who's just so great. Like, he's great. This one actually it touches in parts of the – basically it starts with Darth Vader in his pod having a fantasy about the end of Revenge of the Sith, and instead of – him burning up, he watches Obi-Wan say all of the dialogue from the movie, except then Obi-Wan burns up. Hmm. Which I was like, this shit's wacky. And basically, like, this story is about the time frame is it's when Palpatine takes the Empire from what was from being an extension of the Republic to no, this is an empire, and this is all about what I want. I'm the Emperor, and this is about the invasion of Mon Cal.
Oh, okay.
So they're taking us. So, like, we get to see, you know, the Mon Cal's. I can't think of what they are. The Akbar's people, are they? They're Mon Calamari, and then also the Quarren live there. If you can remember, Squidface.
Yes.
And so basically, like, it's got the Imperial diplomat who's trying to convince the king of the Mon Cals, like, to do this, and. There's a bureaucracy to it that I love very much.
Well, one thing's consistent about the show is we like bureaucracy.
We like bureaucracy in a familiar fantasy element.
For sure.
That's key. Like, I want to see that as long as it's done interestingly. And apparently there's some Jedi on Mon Cal who may or may not be Obi-Wan Kenobi who's advising them. And then you'd
imagine if there's fantasies about Obi-Wan that he's going to show up like a loaded gun in the first act.
So the cover,
or a cake knife.
Well, it might be a red herring though. So the cover of the next issue is Darth Vader's head coming out of the water. I can't remember what
Apocalypse
movie.
Now?
Yes, Apocalypse Now. That's exactly what it is, which I think is very funny.
Okay.
I think it's extremely funny. That's why I brought that up. We can move along. I hope that wasn't too difficult for you.
No, it's fine. Those are the books we're going to talk about every week at patreon.com/ifanboy. That's where the patrons at every level of patronage can vote on a book to add to the rundown. This week was a crazy tight race. We had three or four or five books at one point in contention, but in the end it was Eternity Girl number one, which edged out Vampironica and Dry County number one to be the pick of the week. This is Young Animal's latest book, written by Magdalene Visaggio, with art by Sunny Liu. And I really like Sunny Liu's art.
I also like Sunny Liu's art very much. I don't know what you people have with the Young Animal that you think that I'm going to like one of them eventually. But they're all the same in the same way. It's like a bunch of Doom Patrol type books that I don't get.
That's the only one I do like of these Young Animals.
Ironically.
I like Doom Patrol. I did not like this issue, however. I did like looking at it because I think Sonny Liu is one of the best artists in comics.
So let's – yeah, go ahead.
I just think he doesn't draw in a way that anyone else draws a similar way. And he doesn't draw a lot. He did that Dr. Fate book a while back, and then before that he did the book with Jean Yulun Yang, the Chinese superhero book.
Yep. Green Turtle.
The Green Turtle. I'm always happy to see a Sunny Liu book because I think he's great.
Yep. There was definitely a really fun thing about looking at the storytelling and the design in this, and there were good things about it. end of the day, I actually thought it was fairly straightforward. It wasn't just being obtuse for the, you know, sake of being obtuse, I thought. It's just kind of a downer, kind of like old Vertigo book, like stereotype book, like of a sad person who can't get what they want. But
this book?
Yeah.
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 So the story is of a, I think, she, I don't know, I've never heard of this person. I don't know if this is a new character or not. Eternity girl who is in therapy. She keeps trying to kill herself even though she can't because she doesn't breathe. She doesn't bleed. She does it, you know, nothing will kill her like Groundhog Day. And she's in therapy because she can't die because she's, and she's depressed because her powers went haywire and hurt a bunch of people in her organization's building. And I just, it was just, you're right, it was just a downer. And I was just like, I wish I knew anything about this character to care about her, but I don't.
Yeah, that's kind of where we were at on it. Like I thought it wasn't like a lot of these young animal books, I don't really know what I'm supposed to grab onto. In this, I knew what I was supposed to grab onto. I just didn't want to.
Right.
I think. So.
I will say that young animal gets really good artists.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. That
they get really, really good artists. So at the very least, it'll be interesting to look at. And this is actually a more straightforward Sunny Lou than I've seen, than in previous books.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like it wasn't bad, but it wasn't for me. I think I thought it was a little, I just felt like I'd read it and I didn't want to read it the first time.
Ratings. Out of 5, I'm going to give it a 3.
I'm going to go 3 also.
Because of the art.
Yeah.
And sticking with it.
No.
No, me either. All right. So patreon.com/iFanboy, that's where you can make your pick every week on Wednesday and Thursday.
I wish they'd pick the Archie book. Because I read a bunch of the other big books that came out this week, and you'll note that they're not in the rundown because I really didn't have anything to say about them.
That's okay. Almost Archie, almost Vamp Veronica, almost Dry County. Either one of those books would have been interesting for you to read.
Yep.
So also at patreon.com/iFanboy, if you give the $5 higher level, you get your own superpower on the show live.
Live. Like, oh, no.
That is thanks. First patron we're thanking is Patrick A. Ashley. And I'm going to give you 2 words, Josh.
I'm going to take them.
Vespa legs.
Vespa legs.
Vespa legs.
Like a Bond girl?
So, Vesper. No, like.
I know.
Much like a Transformer, Patrick can convert his legs into a cherry red 1960s Vespa.
Ooh.
He's like a Vespa, what's that creature that's half man, half horse?
Centaur?
Centaur. He's like a Vespa centaur.
A Vesptar.
So he turns his legs into a Vespa and he just leans forward with his hands to grab the handlebars and he goes.
I like that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. This is what you get when I forget to think of some powers beforehand.
That wasn't nothing. I wouldn't have known. I can tell you as of right now, I'm about to talk. I don't know what I'm going to say.
Okay.
So with that, Derek Corto. Mm-hmm. Miraculously always has a high bandwidth, no matter what the connection or location. He's always going to get a good signal. He's going to have at least 100 megs up and down.
So he should team up with a guy who always has full bars.
Yeah. But if that guy had a hotspot, they're good. Yeah.
Right.
They're good.
So those two guys are always like, why is everyone complaining? I mean, the internet's fast and I can to make phone calls. I don't understand.
Yeah. It's totally fine.
So those guys are the IT team for whatever X-Men team these guys are all on.
Oh, sure. You want them there, too. You gotta submit a ticket to help desk. It's a little tedious of a process, but still.
Put it into JIRA. All right, Dave Martin.
Fuck JIRA.
Dave Martin, who... I don't even know my JIRA login. Dave Martin, whose name is very similar to my old rock band bass player character name. Dave Martin can turn into a puff of smoke.
Is it shaped like Dave Martin?
It starts off and then it becomes smoke formed.
Okay. I wanted that.
And then he can reconstitute. But okay. He just turns into a puff of smoke.
Does he have motility in smoke form?
No, he just kind of drifts away.
So if he's okay, wait, hold on. It's not sounding attractive. I mean, it's good for hiding.
No, it's tough.
If it's windy, If he's windy and he dissipates a great deal, does that take him longer to reform?
Yeah, he's got to reconstitute. It takes a while. But he can't, I mean, technically speaking, if he needed to get away and it was windy, he would be blown away from the trouble. And then he would just have to reconstitute himself.
Huh.
No one understands quite how exactly it works, other than Dave himself.
Pretty good.
But, you know, he turns into a smoke. And only occasionally does it happen when he's frightened or startled. He's got enough control at this point where he can control it.
Okay.
But if he saw, for instance, Patrick turn into a Vespa Lake for the first time, he might turn into a puff of smoke as a result.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh!
Poof. Exactly.
Is there a sound?
Yes.
P-F-F-T. So next up we have Joaquin Luke, who has to use his power. It's difficult to use his power for good, to be honest. You could be tempted because he can steal your girlfriend.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's like that guy from Cheers. He's going to steal your girlfriend.
He's like 1971 Don Henley.
Yep. He isn't going to steal your girlfriend.
He could.
But he could. It wouldn't take any effort. She'd just be gone. She'd be like, I got to go with Joaquin.
So here's the question. Is it something he consciously does, or do, like, if he's around your girlfriend, does she start going, "Wow, Joaquin, he's kind of"?
I mean, there's a hint of that, but he has to press it to actually make that to make her.
So I'm saying, is it a passive or is it an active power?
It's active, but it's kind of, we're gonna go with active then, because it's, you know, like,
otherwise he'd be stealing girlfriends wherever he went.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a problem for him.
What really about wives?
Nope, just girlfriends.
Just girlfriends.
Yeah.
What about fiancés?
That's still a girlfriend.
Okay.
Wow. That's not all official. Right.
So until you have that license, he can, you know, you're in trouble.
I'm just
saying.
You
don't invite Joaquin to any parties.
Unless there's a guy there and you don't want them to be together anymore.
That's true.
But you've also got to think, like, how many girlfriends does Joaquin want? He's got to be careful.
It's an expensive prospect.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he could, but whoa. I don't need another girlfriend, dude. Don't worry about it.
There's only so many days in the week.
I can come to the party, but I need to get some shut-eye.
I am broke.
I've been going to the airport to pick people up all week.
Patreon.com/iFanboy. That's where you can sign up at the $5 or higher level, and you can get your superpower on the show, just like Joaquin, Dave, Derek, and Patrick. Thank you to the four of you for doing that.
I think for no planning, that turned out okay.
Yeah, pretty good. Maybe we should plan less. That's the lesson here.
So do you want to have one of these superpowers? Well, you need to donate at $5 or more a month at the patreon.com/ifanboy area. But there are also other reasons to do that. One, you get to vote on that Patreon pick we talked about earlier, and there are other stretch goals. Previous ones have included us having t-shirts. Once again, we're going to get to that in a second. But also to have our Booksplode and Talksplode podcast come back. We're going to get to that again. The next stretch goal is a non-comics media podcast. We've been in the area we are for a while. Just saying. I guess you don't want it that badly. Everyone listening.
Maybe we'll change it.
Which would, I mean, that's what that information would suggest if we're going to go by data, that it's not their fault, it's our fault.
Yeah, for sure. So, I always assume everything's our fault.
I definitely live my life by that rule, both professionally and personally, and I find it helps others, not so much me.
Right.
You could also go to our iFanboy t-shirt store, which is aforementioned, ifanboy.threadless.com. There are six designs there. There's our iFanboy logo, our Herm shirt, the Pick of the Week podcast. Of course, ratings. If one was Electro shirt, which my son asked me about, and I went, okay, how do I explain this? And then, of course, there's our brand new design, GDAT. To be honest with you, we might have gone too vague on that one.
Well, it's a patron-in joke.
Yeah.
We didn't expect it to be a top seller. Didn't expect it to be such a low seller. But
so here's our goal. You know, this is our stretch goal. Can one of you buy one? Because I can tell you right now, there's at least one very rare shirt out there right now.
So also, real quick to note, if we mentioned this before, Threadless is doing free shipping. So if you're an early listener to the show, this time the shipping has been extended to the 19th. So if you download this show on Sunday the 18th, you have until 10 a.m. Central Standard Time on Monday the 19th to order anything from Threadless from our store. You get free shipping. $45 US, $80 international, I believe are the two numbers. I could be wrong. But if you want free shipping, if you've been waiting on that GDAT shirt.
I got to get that GDAT shirt.
Wait and order 10 GDAT shirts for your friends and family, and you listen to the show on Saturday, on Sunday when it comes out, you got about 24 hours to get free shipping from Threadless. So check that out at fanboy.threadless.com. We do have another shirt coming up. We're discussing the design this past week.
It's locked. It's locked in concept, and I think you kids will enjoy it.
You've been asking for it, so I think you'll like it.
And finally, if Patreon's not the way to go, you don't want any shirts, but you're like, how do I help these crazy kids out? You can send me a check at Josh Flanagan. No, I'm sorry. Just direct money. No, you can go to ifanboy.com/support and you will find a direct donation link to PayPal if that's the way that you want to roll it and you want to help support this thing. If this is part of your thing, you know, every Monday or every Sunday night or whatever, it's part of your thing. And, you know, just like NPR, if you like the value of it, then we urge you to contribute to it the same way that we all do to the different things that we want to support and keep going. And for those of you who do, we thank you very much. That's enough of that.
So let's do at least one email. Scott from West Virginia writes and says, on the last episode, you mentioned you quit Kirkman's Outcast a long time ago. Just wondering why the hate? What didn't you like about it? I just asked because it's one of my favorite books. So I was surprised to hear that. The art alone makes it a must-buy for me. And
do you know why I picked this question?
I think I do.
Do you? I think you do.
I'll let you explain to the listeners.
Okay. So just because someone doesn't read something or doesn't like it doesn't mean they hate it. And this kind of vernacular is destroying our society. That was probably stronger than what Connor thought I was going to say. But honestly... You can thoughtfully choose not to continue with something, not because you don't like it, and certainly not because you hate it. But I completely recognize that this could just be the way that some people talk, and it doesn't mean the same thing that it does when I talk. But it's always bugged me.
When this email came in, I thought the same thing. I mean, because I was the one who said that in the show. I had been reading Outcast. I stopped reading it, and it doesn't mean I hated it. I just was like, I'm done with this. I've had enough. I've reached. So that happens sometimes. Sometimes you're reading or you're watching a TV show or something, and you know, that's enough. That's enough.
You know what? I'm not getting a lot out of this. It's you know, maybe it's me, maybe it's them or whatever. It's not that it's bad. Honestly, there are, like, let's all accept now, because I don't know that we have, that there are too many good things to consume all of the good things.
Oh, for sure.
In the time it took me to say that sentence, 9 Netflix series came out, 3 of right. which I would have liked to watch.
For sure.
Now there's 7.
I have like 4 shows I'd like to watch right now, but yeah. I don't have 40 free hours.
No, and yeah, you got to pick and choose. So that being said, the old man rant par exemplar, I might say.
So let's just be clear: two reasons. One, Paul Azaceta, the artist on Outcast, terrific,
so
great artist. I'm not a huge horror guy, and so I read Outcast for a while because I like Kirkman, and then after I was like, you know, I don't, I'm fine, I'm good.
Yeah, I was pretty much there with you. I bet I read it longer than you. I think I only stopped a handful of months ago, and I still like.
Yeah, you did. I think I made about a year.
I read it for a while because it's good.
It's very good.
It is really good. However, it did get to this point where, like, we're just going, and I didn't feel like we were going anywhere in particular. And then the other half of it is that it was a fucking bummer. It was just all gloom and everything's going horrible, and I want less of that lately.
I feel like Outcast could have been like 24 issues.
I think so too.
You know, not every book needs to go on for 10 years.
Well, sorted out what the power was and who the bad guy was, I felt like, okay, have your confrontation, save the people or don't or whatever, and I think that that's it. And it didn't happen. It just kept going. Like, they moved off to some little enclave somewhere else, and... I was like, that's enough. I'm good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a fine book. There's certainly way worse comics out there.
I'm very happy that Paul Azaceta has regular work instead of him popping up to do a great arc of something here and there.
Yes. Do we have time for another one, or what are we doing?
Let's do the last one real quick. Daniel from Baltimore. There has been a lot of talk recently regarding Disney buying Fox Studios and what that means for movies. It also had me thinking about what does it mean for the world of comics. Dark Horse has a number of comics based on properties Disney could shortly own, so they would they take those comics away like they did with Star Wars, or could Dark Horse or other indie publishers survive? Would Marvel move to do fewer superhero books and more licensed books? anyway, I would like to get your thought. That's a big question, but I think there's a couple of really basic things that we can get to in that. Why don't you, you know this.
For sure, 100%. Once those licenses end, those books will end up at Marvel. That's what happened with Star Wars.
Conan.
That's what's going to happen eventually. But Dark Horse will probably survive because they survived the Star Wars thing. And Star Wars at the time was a quarter of their revenue of those books. And we all thought Dark Horse was done because if your company lose a quarter of your revenue, most companies go under. But they didn't. And they have enough market share and other things. I think Dark Horse will. I don't even know what those books he's talking about are. That
Disney. Being said, as an overall trend, if we look at the publishers in comics, there's Marvel and DC who have original properties. Obviously, they're old and known and whatever. Dark Horse has a little, but it's not a good time for independent publishers who aren't doing licensed work. Boom and IDW are sort of the next ones after that, and they both largely licensed works, both kids' stuff and adult stuff, which I think that on this show we've found largely uninteresting, I guess. Like, we've never really gravitated towards it. I think most of the time when we try one of those licensed things, we're always left feeling sort of ambivalent at best about it. I don't think it's a great time. I think that you're going to see the rich get richer and the strong get stronger, and it's going to continue in that trend unless somebody has a hit and there's some sort of trend that starts that starts to put that the other way. So I do find it concerning. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I guess he's talking about the Buffy books, maybe. I don't know if Fox actually owns the rights to those or not. They may not. Just because they put the show out doesn't mean they necessarily own the rights to the comics. But they don't.
Are there any other successful indie original series that you can think of, like outside of long standing?
Black Hammer books are successful at Dark Horse. And they have obviously Usagi Yojimbo, and they have Harrow County. They have a bunch of, you know, successful for indie books happening there.
Yeah. What's funny is I don't really know what the numbers are for those, but I'd be willing to say that like the threshold for cancellation is going to keep going down.
But also, like, these aren't high overhead companies.
Nope.
You know. There's like four employees. So my thing is like, okay, if they survive losing Star Wars, they'll survive losing whatever books that they're going to lose. But I do think you'll see, I mean, there's been a handful of new companies in the last 7 years or so, you know, with Aftershock and Black Mask and Lion Forge and Lion Forge.
But those are, I mean, they're either like, funded by a very wealthy media.
They all have funding behind them. They're
shoestring, you know, which I don't think is even as successful as it used to be.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you might see some smaller companies close, but I don't think Dark Horse is going to be one of them because of this Fox deal.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't even think about that. When Marvel was bought by Disney, there were so many things written about Dark Horse being in trouble, and they were fine. So also Marvel licenses out stuff too, like big books. IDW publishes big Marvel collections, and Archie does. Like, they just don't, the stuff that's not their business model, they just license out to other companies to handle for them. So, you know, I think they'll be fine.
Well, there you go.
contact@ifanboy.com. That's where you can write in, like Daniel and Scott. Thanks for being writing in and being on the show with us. We're all a big family here.
All right, let's bring her home. The last special edition that I did was the Talksplode with Rob Guillory in February. Also, back then, there was a special edition of Black Panther. Have you guys done an animation one since then?
No, but we have two in April.
Okay. So those are coming up. The next thing to come up will obviously be a Booksplode for March. You may be listening to this right now and going, hey, guys, I noticed that March is more than halfway over, to which we would say, that is correct. It is. And there is some question to what...
No, we know what we're going to do.
What we're going to do?
It's going to be probably the last week of March, because that's in 2 weeks, but we're going to do Green Lantern Earth 1 by Karina Becko and Gabriel Hartman.
Well,
that'll be
go.
The Booksplode for March. And then we already have the May Booksplode ready to go. So this time it'll be sooner in the month. We have the next two ready to go.
I mean, you can clearly then expect the July one to be very late.
Yeah. So
I mean, because we have time to plan, so you know how that's going to go.
So you can look forward to that Green Lantern Earth One discussion probably the last week of the month. And then in addition to that, if you're a patron and you're listening to this early again, our monthly patron hangout, that's where we hang out, Josh and I, sometimes special guests for an hour talking about nonsense. Once a month, we do that. It's a lot of fun. Monday the 19th, that's this Monday, that's maybe even today or yesterday. Is our next hangout, so you can come check that out. We already have a schedule of many, many topics.
So if you're not a patron and you're like, well, what does that mean? So I want you to think of that as an extra hour-long show that we do in a given month that's pretty free-form and really fun. And I'm going to be honest, probably a little more open than we are on here is my guess, if that's what you're looking for. So if you think that's the thing to put you over the top and you hadn't thought about it, I really love doing those shows. They're really fun. Yeah, you don't have to listen when they're live. You also have access to them later.
Yeah, they're casual. It's not always comics talk, but it often is, or comics related news or media discussion.
Not so much news.
If there's like a big news story.
Yeah, I know, but we're not talking politics.
Comics news.
Just letting people know.
And since it's not put out on the air and it's private to the patrons and doesn't go out to the public, we often are more open about things that we know about that we can't talk about on the show.
Less circumspect.
Yeah, so there you go. That's happening Monday the 19th, and then, of course, there'll be one next month as well.
Okay, so get over to ifanboy.com. You can find all of our shows, all the ones that we talked about, everyone that we've ever done for the last billion years. You can find out what the pick of the week is before the show comes out by liking facebook.com/ifanboy or following @ifanboy on Twitter. You can follow us individually. I am J.A. Flanagan on Twitter and Instagram, and Connor is C.S. Kilpatrick on Instagram.
And if you like the show, please leave us a review or a star rating. Even if you don't want to write a review, click on a star rating. That will help people find the show. We thank you who do that. It's really important for podcasts. It's even not just our show. Any podcast you listen to, you should leave a rating and a review for it. It helps people find it. And even better than that is introduce people to podcasts who don't listen, who like what you'd like. And you think, hey, here's a podcast you might like. Or if somebody asks you on Twitter, which podcast should I listen to? It always makes us happy whenever anybody mentions our show. So we thank everyone who does that. Helps spread the love and the iFanboy word around the world. Until next week, I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. I'm back.
You're not going away next week, right?
Probably the next three, but then I'll be back. Basically, alternate months, I will do a half a show.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
You're cool with that, right?
Whatever.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.